Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Grief for Growth podcast, where I dive into the profound questions of life, death, and the nature of human existence. Drawing from my own loss and extensive study, I offer a space of understanding and exploration for those navigating through life's toughest challenges. Today, I'm really honored to have with us Reverend Honey Borton. She's an ascension guide and a messenger from the afterlife. Her spiritual journey began at a young age and was profoundly shaped by a near-death experience she had in 2012. She's an inspirational figure, having traveled to over 40 countries, activating spiritual and ascension energies, and authoring the children's memoir, The Day I Became a Superhero. In this episode, we're going to explore topics like ascension, like life's transformative moments, and connecting with higher spirit realms. Her insights promise to offer not just knowledge, but also comfort and guidance to those who are seeking deeper spiritual connections. And I invite our listeners to join the conversations post-show at grieftogrowth.com/community, where we can continue the conversation about the episode. So with that, I want to welcome to Grief to Growth, Reverend Honey Borton.
Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you. I'm honored, truly divine honor to be here on your show and with the audience. Thank you.
As I said, I'm thrilled to have you here today. I love talking to people who have actually experienced what some of us haven't, that actual crossing over and the energies that you experienced. So I'm looking forward to sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with our audience. Now, I know your spiritual experiences began at a very young age. So start wherever you'd like to start and tell me about that.
Sure. Thank you. So the spiritual journey for me I wouldn't say as even remembrance, what was natural for me started really early on, even before I was in that fatal car crash. I had very deep remembrance that I was not from Earth. I can say as early as I was 4 years old. And that was the thing that my parents always would bring it up to my attention. Being 4 years old, I had this like little kind of bag that I would carry with me, and I would go sit outside and I would wait for my family to come get me. And they would say, "Why are you outside?" I said, "Because I'm from the Snars. I'm not from here." And I would always draw these things on the living room. They had such a hard time with me, because as soon as I could hold a pen, I was drawing these kind of like circular, oval looking shapes. And I was like, "I came through here, but I came to help the people of Earth." I'm like 4.5 or 5 years old. I have very profound memories of that. And they just didn't know what to do with me. And I had some interesting sort of like abilities earlier on. My mother's side came from family of folk medicine healers. So naturally, there was some of that already within me, although my mother was not practicing. The thing that the experience or the event or the encounter that really catapulted everything was when I was in a fatal car crash at the age of 7 with my parents, as we were traveling from, I was born in the Middle East, and I was traveling with my parents after the revolution. We were going to see the famous ancient ruins of Iran called Persepolis. I had such fascination with this place and I needed to see the ruins. So my parents finally decided to take me. And along the way, in a very desert-like area, nothing around, just mountains and just like a two-lane pathway, we experienced this head on, a very, very extreme car crash where the oncoming car that hit us, they died right away upon impact. And my parents were horrifically hurt and injured, especially like my mother was driving, so the wheel of the car broken into her face. My dad went into the window, smoke was coming out, car trying to catch on fire, and I was stuck in the car. I couldn't move. I thought my parents were dead, and it was an extreme situation, an extreme fear, Brian. And there's something when one is so extremely frightened in a moment that I just knew the car is going to blow up because the smoke and the flame was coming out, and we had two of these gallons of gasoline in the back of the car, because back then you would have to wait 2 or 3 days behind the gas station to get gas for your car because of the revolution. So all of that was happening. I was trapped in the car. I couldn't come out, and I just kept screaming and screaming, couldn't get out, couldn't do anything, and just stuck between the where the passenger side chair is. It had kept me stuck, and blood everywhere and everything. Within that second of extreme fear that I'm just about to literally burn alive, that fear as a 7-year-old, something happened in that moment. Within that moment, there was a sound, there was a voice that came, and that voice was from my father, because his body fell from being into the front windshield. He dropped into the seat. And there was a sound of life in him. And within that, my entire body experienced what I would call a transcendence. It was that little body stuck there, yet I became something ginormous, about like almost like 20 feet tall, became out of the car, and I was extremely large, and every sound stopped, and there was a different presence that was joyous and luminous and bright and bold and gorgeous. And then my little body was in there. Mm-hmm. And within that, then it was able to allow my little body to do what defies like the laws of gravity or possibility. So everything became weightless, where my little body was able to just go like this. I was able to sort of just push the door car out where it was stuck. Nothing could happen. And I was able to come around and lift my father with one hand and pull him out. So all that realities changed. Mm. And an experience, inertia of life. And within that, I understood everything at that moment. I understood I was not that in that 7-year-old. That's not who I was. I understood that I was a light being. I understood I was part of the universal principles of life. I understood that I'm infinite consciousness that has been condensed into a form. I understood everything in that moment. And then back into form as a 7-year-old. And that opened the door of communication between the realms of consciousness, many different realms of consciousness, such as loved ones who've crossed over, such as spirit guardians, spirit animal guides, angels, a lot of angels. That was a big one. And being able to see the mightier angels is what I would call them, ascended masters, higher dimensional beings, star family. My journey really began there, being able to experience them, and experience them not over there, like right here in the room, right here in that. And And that was something after my parents came out of coma, it was hard for them because they didn't further know how to handle this. So they kind of let me run and they thought, okay, she's had an accident. Let's everybody, you know, just be gentle with her. Mm-hmm. They were just happy that I was not injured. Miraculously, I was not injured out of everybody in that. I was the only one not touched, which is wow. quite interesting. And which 30 years later led me to write this book that the voice said I have to write it. I had no intention of writing it. So the day I became a superhero. And from there, the journey began of being able to have one particular guide, a very tall blue being that was with me, became a guardian. I did everything with this blue being. Was whether I ate, went to the playground, everything. This was my family. And again, my parents are like, you know, and family members and school, like, but they all knew there was this major fatal car crash and let's just kind of leave her alone in that kind of attitude, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but that's when it really began. And I couldn't understand at that time why those that were around me, Brian, could not experience what I was experiencing. For them, like everything was kind of like flat, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I would have just, my life was not light. I would have such in-depth sensory experiences with everything was not regular. Everything was in a different expression, multi-dimensional expression, such as like, for example, flowers had music tones. I could hear the sound, the music of the flowers, and I could see hues. So the hues, there was certain formation of the way the pattern of the wave sound through the flowers, and I could hear them. I don't have to do anything. I'm right there. I can hear it. And I couldn't understand why. And I would be like, I would tell my friends, oh my God, did you hear that song? The way the flowers singing that? And they would look at me because they couldn't hear. And I couldn't understand why they can't hear. I thought everybody could hear. So that's when the door opened, like dramatically. And then it was a hard journey to walk with that door open because, again, it was not accepted from especially being able to see discarnates, being able to see relatives and being able to say what they're saying, being there with me and the ones that were what I call not so nice as well, you know? So it was all of that. And not had the full support in any way because from the culture that I came and the religion part of it from not my mother's side, but grandmother's side, these were also, lack of a better word is let's just say they would get scared of it. It was never embraced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So I would ask you, you said you were seeing these beings and multidimensional and higher dimensional and ascended masters, et cetera. Do you think it's just that we other people just can't see them, that this is always around us? I always wonder about like when people talk about the flowers with different hues and music and stuff. I hear people describe that when they have NDEs, when they cross over, they'll say that, you know, I was in heaven, for lack of a better word, and the flowers had music. Is it like that here and we just filter it out? Or what's your thought on that?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm testing out a new feature. I'd love to get your feedback on it. It's called Fan Mail, and you can send me a message right from the show notes of the podcast. So look for the link that says send me a text. You can ask a question for a future podcast. You can suggest a guest or just give me any feedback you want. Just remember, it is one way. I can't text you back, and I will not have your name, your email address, or your phone number unless you include it in the message. Let me know what you think.
That's a wonderful question, Brian. I have come to recognize it in this way. Everything already exists. It's all here. All the dimensions are already here. It's multidimensional here. It is where we are focused is how we are able to experience it. So when we are very much physically focused, that means more of our energy is saturated within the five senses. Mm-hmm. We are experiencing life through the five senses because this is a vessel in which the greater self, that great I am that we are, is experiencing. You know, it's like coming in, you know, like if I'm touching this paper, that great self is experiencing through touch what this paper is. Mm-hmm. So when we are aware of the consciousness of that infinite presence that we are, that we come from, that's who we are then interacting with the other dimensions that are also here. So it goes through that sensitivity that we are able to easily experience these dimensions because they're not out of sight. They're not out of reach. They're reachable and accessible. Mm-hmm. And it has to be that refinement that is able to, so we have physically these five senses. And of course, you know, they've been trying to tell us we have ESP, the sixth sense and what have you. We have this, our heart bodies have many more senses. So at the very minimum, there are six other higher dimensional senses that we have that is accessible, which this is why you're able to experience loved ones who have crossed over telepathically or visually or cognizantly, you know, all of these ways you're able to experience them. Or mm-hmm. for example, we are able to experience a craft ship right here in front of us and another person can't see it. It's all existence simultaneously at the same time. It's just where we're saturated in our direction of focus.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So it's all here. Nothing. I mean, I found it hysterical that on Earth there's this thing, oh, they're trying to prove UFOs and ETs and all of that. It's so funny to me, you know, because we are, I'll go one step further, mm-hmm. we as conscious awareness, that's who we are. We are infinite conscious beings. And when we become aware of ourselves, that we are part of this infinite presence that is always present of itself. That's what that I am is. Mm-hmm. So because it's from that living principle, that life force, the source that has created everything. So from here, we are part of everything that has always been created. So that's when we say, like, I'm you, Brian, you're me. But right now we're experiencing you in a male form across the screen and I'm here. So it seems like there's a bit of that separation. Mm-hmm. But I've also been Brian. Brian has also been Reverend Honey. And we've been all of it, the tree, the rocks, at least from this plane and all dimensions of reality. We're part of all of it because that's where all of that encoding is within the DNA. It already is encoded. It's already created in that mm-hmm. image of divine perfection. So it's when it expresses itself into form, such as we are in a planet of cause and effect, we're form materialized, right? So form expresses in this way. It's expressed in that way, is name given Brian.
Yeah.
All of it already is. It does not have to be created. It was already created.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That's kind of the understanding that I'm coming to. So you had this experience at seven and your senses were opened up and you experienced all that. Did they stay open or at some point, I mean, how was that for you and when did it change if it did?
Sure. So from 7 years until about 11, still very much open. And along the way in the country that I was in, it was, like I mentioned, first it was the revolution, then the war began. The war, that there was, again, more trauma around this. And mm-hmm. when we experience trauma, you know, some of the things start to shut down because we're dealing with that. It really remained open still when there was the bombing and the airplanes with the bombs would come and drop him. And I happened to be somehow not afraid during that time, even, but the sound was extremely bothersome to hear the sounds of the bomb at nighttime dropping and everything exploding. It was just really difficult at that time for, you know, my younger years. And these gifts were remained with me. When we migrated out of my country and we came to the U.S., that's when things, I purposely shut them down. Mm-hmm. And I say that I purposely because I had begun to recognize that, like, as if something is wrong with me. People don't experience what I'm experiencing. I have to be careful with what I say. I can't be myself. Mm. And even with my parents, again, not a support, they're dealing with the traumas of revolution and war and what have you. And I just began closing that, and also friendships, making fun, school, having trouble calling parents, your daughter's bringing ghosts, come get her, she's freaking everybody out. So, and I couldn't understand the beauty. Why were people so scared of such beauty, like the luminosity, like seeing my great-grandmother at her funeral, all of them crying. Meanwhile, she's standing next to me, just luminous, gorgeous. And so a lot of confusion around that, you know. So when it came to the U.S., I just felt I can't be me, and I feel very alienated and can't express it. So I just said, let me just be like everybody else. And plus, I had to learn how to speak English, start life. It came with just only $200 in my mom's pocket and just start life. And so, and there's something when there's trauma, as you know, everything shuts down because survival kicks in. So for quite a bit of few years, I also internally said, I'm not going to talk to any of you. That's what I said internally. And that's exactly what happened. And I began experiencing like being like everybody else. And that made me very depressed. So I became quite depressed because there was no more that richness that I knew, the truth that I knew, the luminosity of like the grace. Not, it's like all of them went, like the sunlight inside of me dimmed and the flame dimmed. And it was no longer beauty in from the beauty that I knew the world was. And came depressed. And when my father transitioned into fatal car crash when I was 21. He did survive and then he died later. Mm-hmm. A lot of things happened from there, and then the healing journeys began.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's 4 lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into 4 short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe the NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grief2growth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it. So And I understand what you're saying. I can imagine, you know, being that different. And I've heard a lot of people that are born with these abilities or have them opened up, purposely shut them down. And for some of us, we think, wow, I would love to be able to have that. But we don't understand that it comes at a price when you're living in this world where the rest of us don't see it. And I guess the rest of us have chosen, for whatever reason, that we're closed off to that. So was it your next NDE that actually opened your abilities up again?
Not quite. What happened from the birth of, from the transition of my father and spirit side, that night when he died, I knew before he died, when I said bye to him, I heard the voice, "You won't see him again." And I was like, "Not you guys again. Like, I don't want you to come in." Mm. And so that night before he died, I knew I received that he won't, you know, he'll die. You won't see him. So knowing again what I knew came with a price, like, why do I know these things? I don't want to know. It creates suffering. I've tried to shut it. I want to be like everybody else. So that, and then my dad that night came through, started wanting to talk. I didn't want to talk to my grandmother. I didn't want to talk to any of them that were in spirit side. So it became much darker for me, I have to say, Brian. That brought up a lot of pain and hurt inside, and I actually became quite suicidal. I just didn't want to be my body. I didn't know how to handle the emotions, the pain, the hurt that I was feeling, and what came as the price of, again, these gifts that seem more of a curse than gifts. I couldn't embrace them. I couldn't tell anybody that I knew this would happen. I couldn't, you know, there's again, like, the, it came with shame, it came with guilt, you know, it came with all of those things. And especially when I hear voice, you know, I'm very auditory, voice and sight is my strongest abilities, and plus a few other things. And so those years were not good. So I decided to go into becoming a clinical therapist, clinical counselor, to help myself. So that became my devotion and passion of becoming a clinical therapist and kind of pull myself out of suicide. And it was later on where it was interesting when I became a clinical therapist. So this has happened. So imagine in clinical therapy, you have all this admin work you have to fill out when I'm doing private sessions or I'm doing group therapy. So individuals are coming, and the ones that I was working with, they were refugees that had come through the American Red Cross into the US. And there was the program that I would sort of like place them in certain places and do the psychological evaluation. So here I am in the room. Imagine you're one of the individuals and I'm trying to hear just a little bit about you and do an evaluation. Meanwhile, I see behind the person, there's the grandfather standing, there's the grandmother that had transitioned, there's the aunt, and they're all trying to talk to me. And I'm like, I can't in this setting. And the person is looking at me like, can tell something's going on, but I can't say. And meanwhile, they're talking to me, tell her this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to tell anybody. I can't. I'm in this setting I can't say that in that setting, you know? Yeah. So that was so difficult because, again, they were refugees. Their homes were taken. Many of them, their families were slaughtered and what have you. And here the relatives, they knew I was a medium and I could communicate. They wanted to just come in. They were so happy to communicate because it would help that person. They wanted to give information so it would lift why they were depressed. But I couldn't do it. So that was such suffering. And so from there, it started opening up, and the birth of my first son blasted everything open. And then here we go. I couldn't shut it down, and it didn't shut down since 1998.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And I'm smiling as you said that because my daughter is a therapist and she has similar experiences. She's clairvoyant or she's basically a medium. She doesn't practice or anything. And she's like, okay, you people need to go away. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So then your abilities opened up again, but then you had another near-death experience in 2012. Is that right?
Sure. So from 1999, everything started opening up, and I became a first-time mother, and there was some health challenge with the birth of my son that first week. So again, another like massive trauma. So I came to understand, really understand, what is this rule of trauma that our soul has chosen to take part, and this poor vessel, this human vessel, has to go through it. Like, it's so much compassion for this vessel that has to actually walk with the soul purposes. It's crazy, Brian, as you know.
Yeah.
And so, again, it was so traumatic, and that turned me straight back to source, to God. I was angry, and I said, I know you did this and you have answers. You better show me every step of the way. And that's exactly what happened. So the team started coming in. I started having communication. And at that time, former spouse, he knew I had certain abilities, but I wasn't as communicative about it. He knew. So it slowly started opening up in sharing with him, and he's like, you know, kind of keep it at a distance, because his job was a special agent, and he was with Department of Defense top secret. So he kind of like didn't want to like go anywhere else. So, and these keep expanding further and further. Let's just say that. Let's just say that the door opened up again, and I started experiencing the multi-dimensional reality at an expedited rate. This is before I transitioned on January 8, 2012. Mm-hmm. So everything started really picking up. And I had opened a center back in 2006 because I wanted to really bring the education that was inspired by the birth of my son to the public, and also bring created change in the consciousness of humanity. And I was meeting a lot of opposition with that, especially through the medical establishment and what have you. And I felt really alone. Again, I was back in that seat of being alone. Yet I was experiencing, my human was experiencing, as much as I was trying to hide it from people so people don't know what I see, what I'm experiencing, they were experiencing these healing miracles when they would just come see me, not even for healing session. We're talking about like my center at that time, let's say doing things for beauty. And they're like turning around, what is that? What's happening? And I'm like just like trying to hide it again. Like, I don't want them to know. And, but it got to a point that I couldn't anymore. I had to surrender. Mm. And especially there were a couple of experiences with couple of the ascended masters that, when they entered work through me, through individuals, I couldn't say anything anymore. And I knew my life would change. Yet at that time, again, I couldn't share the depth of it with my former spouse at all, because it was off chart. Like, we don't discuss any of these. And meanwhile, both of my sons were having experience. Like, particularly, it's one thing for me to experience, but it's another one where both my sons are also experiencing multidimensional. They're seeing what I'm seeing. So then at that time, my former spouse is like, okay, I know this is all true, but I just can't handle it. So we started having blue beams back in the house where he was also experiencing. He's like, what is going on here? We started having all kinds of other activities taking place, and the door had opened, then there was no shutting. And again, it went back. I found myself getting depressed again. Because it was not embraced as beauty back like I was a child. It wasn't beautiful. It was like, put it away, do something with it. It's not welcome here. And it can't fully be shared. And the sadness of it was so much. It had only gotten even larger, I have to say, Brian. And to a point that it developed an illness in my body. And that's the illness that caused my heart to shut down and my heart to stop, where I experienced dying and leaving out of this body and going into afterlife, which was an extraordinary, not even extraordinary, that's not even the right word, like an exhilaration, incredible experience of leaving the body, going into afterlife. That was on January 8th, 2012.
So tell me about that experience.
Sure. So let me just share this with you. I was very, very ill at that time. Really, 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 it was a really tough time. As I was saying bye to my children, I knew I was leaving. Mm-hmm. They were very young. And there's something when you know you're dying. And I'm also, again, hiding it from everybody. I didn't want anybody to know. And that night, when my heart stopped, was an incredible experience. There is something when the heart actually stops, when this physical body, this borrowed body, just goes lifeless. The very first experience was me, the consciousness that talking to you, came out of this body as a spirit and came out of the room, and it felt so free, like a bird that's come out of a cage, you know. Mm-hmm. It was so luminous and free, and the inside, all I can remember, my spirit body was filled with a joy that he hadn't experienced in such a long time. And my spirit body, I call it spirit body because it's not the light body. The spirit body is very much this. It's not physical. It looks exactly like this, but it's spirit. It's lighter. It's not physically dense. And so when it came out, it looked down on the formless body. There was no connection to it, no nothing. It was just like freedom, like out of there finally. And I have to say, I believe it was that because the incarnation was associated with so much pain and suffering and trauma. So it was so happy to be free out of the body. And it left out of the room very quickly. And it went out, and it was very much like, you know, some individuals go out of the building, then they go out further. Mine mm-hmm. wasn't like that. When I was on sort of where the ceiling is and look down on the body, I didn't even stay there lying that long. My spirit body didn't stay there lying that long. It left very quickly, and it moved out of Earth to what I would say is like a stratosphere. Again, the words don't quite match what that description is or what that reality is. And it was this open, expanded space, where the very first being that greeted my spirit body, was still in the spirit body, was this luminous, lighter pink with white gold hue, mighty, one of the mighty, mighty angels, the archangels. And this one introduced herself telepathically as Archangel Haniel. And my spirit body, communicating telepathically with, it was more of a feminine energy, was so joyous in that experience, Brian. And she had something in her hand. And again, lack of a better word, I call it a wand, but it wasn't. Again, I don't know how to describe that thing that was like in her hand. But that thing drew, she moved her hand in three circles. And each three circles were more like a vapor, that this vapor was I don't want to say poured around me, but like wrapped around me. Mm-hmm. So the way the vapor came, it was like a thicker vapor that turned into like a thinner vapor. And it had that same shimmering frequency as she was. So like the pinkish, goldish, whitish tone that started to vaporize all around the spirit body I was in. I didn't know what that was. I just understood that it was a welcoming to take me to this next place. That's what it was, being welcomed. Almost like purified, but I can't quite say it was purified, but it was like more like a welcoming. And there was no other words communicated other than, I am Archangel Haniel. And I had never heard of her, no clue who she was. You know, so that was the first encounter. So when she then took me to this other place, it was a lack of a better word, like a quarter, two quarters, to my right side. It was so fantastic, Brian. To my right side, it was I could see within it that I could go into it. It was this luminous, lush, is what we would call heaven, Garden of Eden, heaven, like however way you want to put into words. Mm-hmm. But the very front were my grandmother, my grandfather, my uncle, my cousin, all of them were there, and they were so bright and light and just so gorgeous, each of them. And all of them were praising. There was this praising of celebration that I was there. And I couldn't tell you how happy I was to see all of them. That, like, oh my God, you. And I remember saying to them, oh my gosh, all of you are here. And they're like, yes, come. Like, they were all there. My father's mother and the other side, it was filled with so many of them. And there was this kind of like greeting that here I was getting ready to see them. So Archangel Haniel, however, telepathically communicated, not there. And I didn't understand why. She showed me to the left side. The left side had the same corridor. It was oval shape. And inside of it was the color. It's like a tunnel, if you want to call it, but not really, more like a portal. Again, lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. Very dark, dark indigo blue with silver, like platinum silver ray inside of it, and moving extremely fast. And without being able to ask what that is, what is it, anything, she communicated, that's where you have to go. So just like that, my spirit body went through that. And it was so fast, faster than the speed of thought, faster than the speed of light. It, just the fastest thing. The closest thing I can say, when we see Star Wars, when you're going it, it's extremely fast. Mm-hmm. It was exactly that. And it seemed like it went for a while. Like, it wasn't straight line either. It moved. Mm-hmm. And when I came on the other side of it, I was no longer in this form at all. It wasn't the form of spirit body. There was no body, actually, Brian. Mm. It was the pure consciousness that was inside what I would say, this luminous, various colorful rays of a nebula. Like, it has just bursted and it's everywhere. And that's it. There's nothing else other than all-encompassing consciousness that exists. All was there. And I was part of that consciousness. Hmm. And it was all in light form.
Wow.
Yeah. And so from there, again, it had to go to another plane of, I call it reality, or some call it dimension. Again, words can't capture completely. So from there, then my consciousness that was aware of this place and was aware of itself, that it was no longer in a body, was moved to, I want to say higher, but it's not like higher or lower like that. Again, another dimensional consciousness. Mm-hmm. And this one, it was brought to a more of a slightly more structured place, where it was not a building, but a room that was circular, and it was gold, circular and gold, with what we would say windows, but it's not windows. And when my consciousness was brought there, there were these 12 beings that were waiting for me. And there were six on each side, very tall blue beings were waiting there. And they, as my consciousness was brought there, they were translucent. You couldn't see their face. There was quite a bit of a hue of this particular pure golden light behind them, and no feet, no hands, and translucent in the color of that blue ray. And telepathically, they introduced that they were the Arcturian Golden Council of 12, and they were waiting for my arrival. So my consciousness was ecstatic, because it remembered who they were. And it kept saying, I'm home, I'm home, I'm finally home, I'm finally home. So it was their remembrance, the blue being that was with me. So finally understood that blue being was part of this. And also the experiences, how I would wait outside for family to come get me. Like all of this, like everything started to make sense in that. But there wasn't so much about the earth life, because everything was focused on that consciousness with them. And from there, a whole lot was shared. The very first thing, Brian, was, you probably have heard of this, the very, very first thing, the space between these 12 beings, it was kind of like what I would say is screen, but it's not a screen, kind of like a screen, because it had images of extremely fast moving images of all of my human incarnation lives that passed through. So every single one of them went very quickly so that my consciousness could see them, these lives, and what were their purpose, why they were chosen. So all of them had to be shown, including this last human incarnation, why mm-hmm. it's the last human incarnation, why are we returning back and not taking another human form again. And then even I was shown the soul agreement between my biological parents, my biological brother, and why certain things, why I had to be in a female form, why I had to come actually through the Middle East in this particular incarnation, why all of those things, why this traumas, why the sexual abuse very early on, what, like everything to the T was shown to me in mm-hmm. during that revelation. And that's that inner book of revelation. When it opens, you see everything is revealed to you there. And that's what was shown into my consciousness. And from there, a few other things that took place, which one of them was, there was an adjustment in my DNA. They brought my DNA into the middle, and certain things had to be readjusted. At that moment, I didn't know why, but it was the reason why I was sent back to fulfill the rest of the purpose. Mm-hmm. And it needed to be adjusted, and I'll maybe share that a little bit more into it, why. And then after all of this, it became this, and it was so joyous. I have to keep saying, Brian, the ecstasy of that joy of being there, it can never be captured in this language. It falls short from it, you know, because mm-hmm. it's just so ecstatic. And from there, then, where the screen was, I want to say moved, because it wasn't there. And this bright, blinding, like luminous light began forming, and it became so bright. Like it started slow coming down, and and my consciousness was being pulled towards that light. And you could say it wasn't a tunnel, it's past the tunnel. Mm-hmm. The luminosity was there, and it got brighter and brighter and brighter, more blinding, more and more luminous and blinding as my consciousness started getting pulled more into it. And it was, again, it was just home, the return back to source. This figure began merging from that closer to me, to my consciousness. And as my consciousness, so I'm starting to get like the frequency of the emotions with it. As my consciousness began meeting that luminous consciousness, I heard auditory the words as he appeared. It was Master Living Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, but it's not known as Jesus there, it's Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua, the luminous light, was there. And my consciousness didn't even know no words, that it doesn't even know what to say other than receiving that luminous frequency and the beauty and the love. There was the love that was experienced in that had not been anything that my human consciousness had ever experienced, anything even close to it. And in that moment, as again, I keep saying my consciousness, this is important because there was no body. As he moved towards it, he allowed me to experience what he had experienced in that love, the light of love that he had allowed, which is that great I am awareness. And my consciousness got to experience that spectrum of what that source light, the taste of it. And that's where when I say love, we don't know in humans, we've never, the closest is our children. When they're born, we get that nectar that's undescribable. Again, it falls short. Mm-hmm. He said to me, "You can't be with us. You have to go back and you have to share this." And the sharing was in reflection of what that crystalline light, what a living Christ light is. And for it, that it emanates the love, you have to come back and share it. And he shared a few other things. He said, "You'll be back with us soon. Go finish it. It's your last incarnation." And a couple of other things that I don't discuss. And without being able to negotiate, without being able to say anything, Brian, I was sent through, in order the way those dimensional ways were, I went through all of those and then I was dropped back in my body. And my body had a spontaneous healing. Within 3 days, it was completely healed. And the individual that was returned back into the body was not the honey anymore. It was a different version of honey. It was very different. So I was very different, and everybody else noticed. And the life completely changed because it then the mission had to be delivered with what was shown, which results in that planetary work and what have you. So I had been through then the separation and divorce and all that, like my entire life turned upside down. Everything changed and everything left to be able to answer this call. And with some of those other abilities, that was adjusted so mm-hmm. it can deliver this. And it's 12 years later, you know, it was January 8, 2012. So it's 12 years wow, now. Yeah. And it's taken, it took a really long time to be able to adjust in that frequency in this body, because before I could never even say his name, I would just break down in the tears of that love. And it's like my human being separated but what he showed me, you know? So it's taken a long time to be grounded in it. And because when I go to that moment, it's like my entire body experiences the home, you know? It's happy, will go return back there. And yet it experiences how when we are in this form, it feels like we're very far from it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That was it's incredible to hear and to experience a little bit of it through you and to see you reliving that. And I can feel the energy as you do relive that. And there was a question I thought about when I was so excited to ask. I am so excited to ask you because I know you talk about Yeshua and Yeshua, Jesus, as we know him in the West, is a very controversial figure. You know, I was raised in fundamentalist Christianity. We were taught that Jesus is the one that died on the cross for our sins, et cetera. You know, I think you were raised as Muslim, and I know Islam says Jesus is a prophet. And so Jesus, you know, and I was thinking about this 2000 years ago, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And 2000 years later, we're still asking that question. Who is Jesus? So if I were to ask you, who is Jesus, what would you say?
Pure light, pure love. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting to me.
He allowed, Brian, of that light of love to radiate in his form. That's a mastery.
Yeah.
That allowing. And when I was on the other side, he never told me, go be a Christian. He never told me, go follow religion. He never told me to go change the world. He never told me, go save people. He never said that to me. He showed me, he gave me an experience. What that Christ's love is. He said, go be it.
Yeah. That was it. Yeah. I think that
be
was
this. A, be this. Nothing yeah. else.
Yes. And I think that was his message was when he was here. I think that we've messed it up. You know, even in the Bible, there's some Jesus comes through in the Bible in spite of what people did with it. So thank you for answering that. I think that's a really important thing because Jesus is such a big figure in near-death experiences. People who are atheists, people who are Muslims, people who are Christians, people, you know, it's like he's all over the place. And hardly anyone has ever said, I shouldn't say no one, but people don't come back and say, yeah, he told me to be a Christian or he told me to go out and save the world. I don't hear that. I hear he says, go be love, go tell people, you know, who I am, that I'm love. So I love that answer.
And the other thing was, it wasn't about him. What he showed me, Chris, was he showed my consciousness who I was, that I was that love. See, that's the difference.
Yeah.
That he showed this is the truth in me, and let me show you that truth in you. And that's what I was sent back with. He said, go be that. And that's what I was sent to embody. So my entire last 12 years has been the muscle of embodying. What is it like to embody that luminosity that I already am in this form? What is that walk like? The walk of alchemy. What is that? Where it's alchemized, it's embodied. That means it's in everyday life. It is about how I answer this phone. Can that love emanate through? It's when I go to the grocery store at the checkout. Is that light of love radiating through me as even I'm using change or credit card processing? Is it coming when I'm putting gas in the car? Is it when I'm driving? It is so simple. It is so simple. It is the conscious awareness of itself that is being invited. And most importantly, am I able to embody it by facing the most difficult, heart-wrenching situation and allowing that light of divinity that I am, that light that I already am, I am that awareness that I am, to be facing, encountering, meeting this situation with that love, so that it can become also engulfed in this sacred flame of love. Yes. That's the love of mastery. And that's what he was able to deliver and continuously here, live it, it's possible. And so many of you will do it greater. Here it is on the planets, all these souls reincarnated. We already come with it. We don't have to create it. Can we just allow it? That's all. And that's where that incredible gift, because there's enough problems on earth. We already know it. Nobody needs to say anything. We see it. Can we allow love to consume these problems so they too are pardoned into the light?
Yeah, you just said something that was, I thought, I don't think I've ever heard it quite put that way before, because, you know, Jesus said, you know, all the things that I do, you will do, and you will do even greater things. And we think of the miracles. We think of turning water into wine and walking on water and stuff like that. But that's not what I hear you saying.
Yeah, because when we recognize the divine law are perfect, right? There is a divine law, and then, of course, there's the human law. The human law does not recognize what divine law and the living principles of life is, that streaming life. There is no thing such as miracle. It's the natural state of divinity that when we allow it, we're experiencing it. When I was on the phone with a person that I've never had, who had lost his eyesight, he was legally blind and the other one was blind, I stayed on the phone with him and those sights came back. I did not do any kind of miracle, dear. I can't ever take credit for that. And I know neither did Jesus, because that supreme healing power of God resided in that man. And in that moment, he surrendered, trusted. So it became accessible and it transformed that density into light in him. So he had his vision back. I didn't do anything. None of us recognize miracles as that, because when we know it's the natural state of divine law, divine principle, it just is. You see, we can, that's why tumors, this thing dissolve. Why? Because it's in separation of its truth. So it creates a blocked, let's say, energy where it is not flowing. That streaming flow is not flowing. So we create that. When we allow the stream to flow back like a river, it opens up the path. You see, so unfortunately, humanity, through its not remembering, and I was also one of them, has not remembered how to utilize the divine law and principle that is already inherent within him or her. Once it remembers this is the natural state, because I am that awareness, I am that consciousness, I am that presence in this, I am that in this. So I allow that to come into this and from within be expressed out. And that's, with all due respect, I feel many of these beautiful ascended masters that came, it was the same message, East and West, same thing. You know, the humanity looked at it as too simple, couldn't grasp it, wanted to understand it from a mental plane. And this is not something you can grasp as a mental plane. It doesn't work. It's a direct experience of allowing, where through the lens of transcendence, you are experiencing the natural law and principles of life. It already is.
Now, you mentioned that this is your last incarnation on Earth. Why do we come here? Why do people come here and experience what we do?
Well, I can't answer that for all humans. I can answer this. I can only answer from my lens of what I saw, why sure. I chose 844 lifetimes, right? It's many life experiences, right? Mm-hmm. The simple answer to that is my awareness understood that this plane of reality on Earth is extremely special because it's the densest in physicality. It's the cause and effect plane. The cause and effect plane is very important. It's this plane. And to be in a form and to then from a form, from a non-form to a form, mm-hmm. to be able to allow that luminosity of light to radiate from inside out is one of the most, not one, the most exhilarating experiences that a soul can have. Why did Jesus come here? Why did Buddha come? Why did Krishna come? Why did Isis come? Why did Osiris come? Why did, you know, so many other masters? Why did Kuan Yin come? Because it is in this consciousness that is in a form, a materialized form, it is the most exhilarating way where that light can express itself out and transform. Because what takes place here also affects our galaxy, affects the Andromeda galaxy, affects the other galaxies, affects the cosmos and the universe, because they're all connected. Mm-hmm. See, so you come, I can say this, I came to experience all these different forms that I was incarnated in and have the ability to experience love in form. There is no art in experiencing love as an angel, because you already are, or as a master, or when you're in spirit side, it's all love felt. There isn't any contrast. Mm. But here, the contrast is incredible. You know, on the other side, like for example, with you and your daughter, right? So here's this moment, and then you've had this moment with your daughter that she transcends into the other side, right? And then there's that hurt, yet within it there's this love that it's even bigger than you, bigger than you've ever known, and it bursts out of you and it radiates out, and it's in service to many others.
Thank you for sharing that, because I do, and we talked with it before we started recording, you know, my program is called Grief to Growth. And most people that follow and listen, they've gone through some grief event, usually serious traumatic grief event. And when we hear that we are these divine beings and we chose to come here and we chose to go through these things, many people push back and say, I would never choose this. This place must be a punishment. It's a prison planet. You know, you hear some things like that it's karma. You're here because you've sinned. And I love to hear what you're saying, because you're kind of turning that even on its head.
Yeah, because that's what I saw. Even in my own experience, Because before this, dear Brian, I questioned, I had a lot of resentment. I had a lot of hate. I had a lot of judgment. I had a lot of pain from the trauma that my human self experienced in this incarnation, and particularly like the sexual abuse so early on, like the unfairness of life, the injustice, all of that, like whys and all of the suffering. And there's something incredible in such divine perfection. What I want to say to the audience, there is this divine law is so divinely perfect, where we in the human form see the imperfection. But if you're able to step back, few steps back through the lens of divinity, we become speechless of how profound the love is that gave you the opportunity for your human vessel to walk that shoe. So the lens of compassion first opens up. The art of grace moves through you. When you're able to allow that in which I call it contraction was allowed to be expanded, you were able to pardon, right? Because most people don't even understand what forgiving is, Brian. Do you know what forgiving really is, Brian? Why forgive?
Yeah. What is it?
See, but most don't get it. They think, okay, I'm going to forgive that person. It's all in the mental head. They don't get it. When you go, when let's say you're facing a difficult situation in life, right? And you know somebody's wronged you, and you know you got to forgive it because it's eating you up, right? Mm-hmm. When you show up in that place, the altar of your heart, the altar of God, you show up and you said, I am giving this to you. So you take it from me so I can go forward with your love. That's how you're forgiving that energy, that consciousness, that encounter. So what happens then? You are washed, literally bathed in that love, and that's that Holy Spirit, because you can experience it and you're radiating with that love, that there is no more judgment, there's none, and you're able to embrace that person with that love. It wasn't too long ago, I experienced probably one of the more recent heart-shattering experiences of my life, and that when the call came, my human self froze, like I couldn't even, like, how to handle this, right? And in that moment, my arms open up, and it was this immediate communication with Mighty I Am, allowing Mighty I Am to take this and come in and lift my true wings. And allow the love to take over, the divine love, that divine order, that divine perfection, and completely embrace this person that harmed. I can't even tell you how harmful this was, with love, where this person couldn't believe that he was bathed in love because it too freed him.
Yeah.
So most people can't even grasp what real forgiving is. I'm going to actually be teaching a class on it so people can have a real experience, not do it in the head. It doesn't work because you're going to still feel those things in you. That's not forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I hate to do this. We're coming to the end of our time. I really appreciate you sharing everything with me, and I could go on with you for hours. Yeah. So tell people, you said you're going to be teaching a class. Tell people where they can reach you, where they can find out more about what it is that you do.
Sure. So there was a class that's very important to me that I am starting. Actually, it's this Friday, but it's a 12-month, and it is about this inner sacred divine feminine, inner sacred divine masculine, and the marriage, the unity within. Not on the outside. What is that when you're alchemized? What is it that you are centralized? What is it when you are in your inner Christ. That's literally what that is, which means that light. You've come together in your own. So that's a very passionate part of my, and me and my husband are teaching that together, because there's a lot of people that are looking at outside for soul partner and like twin flames, all of that. And they don't recognize it's already you. You got to come to you. And then, so that's that. There's this forgiveness and prayer practice. True prayer is not begging for anything. I really want people to understand how to pray. So these two are coming up. Those would be on Meetup. I facilitate a lot of my key work is the transformational, master transformational healing, what's called ascension alignment, to align this walk of ascension and embodiment. That's where I'm very dedicated. Mm-hmm. So for any of these individuals can email me. My email is honey, H-O-N-I-B, 1111@gmail.com. I put on YouTube every Wednesday, I have a specific message that is all about the Ascension Walk series that can help individuals. Also on Instagram, Honeybee, I share that. On YouTube is Reverend. I have send the information to Brian that you can post it. Mm-hmm. Is Reverend. And if I can answer any question, the only thing I ask when people want advice, I cannot give advice because it's so multi-layered. I am really great if you give me the time and space in the way that I can best show up for you. I can do that. But if you just want a quick advice, there's so much I just can't. And I have a very packed schedule. We have an online private member association ministry where we share a lot through meditation, through movement, through this consciousness. And we're helping people. There are people from all different parts of earth that I'm dedicated to. And they can learn about that too as well if they wish.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for doing this. I've learned a lot, so I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Brian. And thanks to everyone else that is listening to the replay and any questions you might have. And the only thing I really will share, just please know, if you can just truly love yourself, like really love yourself the way Source, God, that divine presence loves you, you will allow that love to emanate through you. And everything is possible through this lens of love. Everything that you believe is a trouble can be solved with this love. Every problem you face, there is a solution because the lens of love will provide it for you. So if you can just give yourself permission to really love you because you're being of that light, you are truly a child of God. And everything has already been given to you. And that's what I want to share with you. And I appreciate you so much, Brian. Thank you so much for this beautiful opportunity you gifted me
today. Yeah, thanks for being here. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hey there. If you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grieftogrowth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.